Hello and welcome to the This Month in Forensics podcast for May 2020. I'm Phil Moore and here's a few things from the last month that I wanted to talk about. Of course, this isn't everything. The industry has put out an astronomical amount of content every single week. So for everything that I can find, you can head over to thisweekinforensics.com. We haven't really seen a downturn. Once the kind of quarantine period started, we started seeing, 200 or so articles a week, and that hasn't subsided at all. In fact, it's probably just about to get much, much worse as we encourage more and more people to share and contribute. Quick shout out again to Ladrina for her contributions this month. It's definitely made my life a lot easier. So sorry for the delay. The week's really kind of run away from me. I meant to get it out on Monday, but that just didn't happen, and I honestly cannot remember what I did on Monday night. It's been a long week. Anyway, for the last month, there has been so much that has happened. So this is going to be kind of an interesting kind of cover off of the things that have happened this month and some of the blog posts that have come out, and then I might talk about the forecast toward the end. Basically, for me, it's been a mad rush to get the Forensics 308 Digital Forensics Essentials class done. We are betaing it. The first debut of the class, the first beta is at the DFIS Summit, of all places, which is a fun time. I have had the fortune of going to the DFIS Summit a few years now, and wasn't going to be able to make it this year because I wasn't going to be able to travel before the whole pandemic thing, and now that's obviously out of the question. But because we're running the class there for the first time, I will be there virtually from 11 p.m. onwards my time. Not the best time zone, but it'll be really, really exciting. Kat, Jason, and I have worked really hard to make this class as good an introduction as we can for everyone that wants to take it. So if you know someone that is interested in learning the digital forensics kind of from the ground up, that's kind of where we start. We start really at the beginning on forensic fundamentals, which is the whole basis of the class. You get to play around with some tools and you get to learn about some fun things that people do in the industry. We did a webcast on it earlier in the month as well, where we basically talked about ways to get into the industry and things that you can do and our experiences getting into the industry. Useful for one and all to go back and have a look at. A few other things happened that are kind of worth mentioning, things that have happened. I guess they happened throughout the month. They didn't necessarily start. Some did, some didn't earlier, but Kevin Reaper through Sands continued his 3-Minute Max webcasts, and I think they're almost daily now, where he runs through a topic for 3 minutes, and I have a backlog of them to go listen to. Heather Mahalik has kept on with her Life Has No Control Alt Delete podcasts, which, because they're in the middle of the night for me, I haven't been able to watch live, but I did find, by Heather sending me a link to the previous episodes, and you can actually, whilst the actual shows are Zoom links, these are just the audio recordings, so you can go back and listen to. They've had 10 episodes now, and I think it's on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so something to go check out if you are in the right time zone or if you can catch it up at a later stage. What else happened? Alexis Brignoni began his Python study group, where he was walking through just learning how to use Python for digital forensics tasks. Alexis knows this stuff, so it's something worth tuning into. Jessica Hyde at Magnet Forensics started a new weekly show, and it depends how you say this. It's either Cash Up or Cash Up. I'm going to let someone tell me how to say it. Let's say Cash Up, which kicked off earlier in the week with an interview with Brett Shavers, and I think it's weekly, so yeah, it is every week. And of course it's like 1 o'clock in the morning for me, so I don't think I'll be watching many of them live, but I believe there's recordings to catch up on, or cash up on. Yes, I'm funny, I know. Anyway, and also Magnet User Summit ran throughout the month. This was previously going to be a day or 2 days with some training attached, and now, because no one could travel, they basically had to open it up. Well, no, They didn't have to. They chose to. And really, I believe from all accounts, have done a really good job of making the summit as accessible as possible, and with recordings. And they used the Discord channel, the DFA Discord channel, for communications and questions. And they had the CTF, which had, instead of, I don't know, 50 people, it had 1,000 people competing. And I think someone has actually finished it. I had a play with it over the weekend. It was a lot of fun for the hour or two that I was able to spend on it. Very interesting. And I think Jess is going to be sharing the images out again. I'm not 100% on that, but hopefully we can get a hold of the questions and the answers, and then you can play along at home. What else happened? Dave Cohen, congratulations, got his patent for the Triforce. Dave released this with his previous company, GC Partners, released the Triforce as a tool that would correlate events between the master file table, the log file, and the USN journal on an NTFS system. And Dave submitted a patent and has finally been awarded it. And if we're really lucky and we ask him really nicely, maybe we'll see an updated, faster version of the Triforce tool, which can only be a good thing. Oleg Skolkin at Group IB and Jai Minton at CrowdStrike independently looked at the feature usage registry key, which I believe is only on more recent versions of Windows 10, but it's something I need to look into more. It's a registry key that will help you track program execution. So, you know, every other one that you can find of these, especially when it comes to anti-forensics and things that will wipe program execution artifacts, if they don't know about it, they can't get rid of it. So the feature usage one is something that I need to go back and read these articles again and do some testing. Joachim Metz took an in-depth look into the pros and cons of parsing MFT entries. It might not be something that everyone has to do manually, thankfully, but it's an interesting post because, as Joachim talks about, people don't necessarily look at the pros and cons of the different approaches. So he wrote a good post on that. And Sarah Edwards at Mac Forensics continued to parse her Apple Unified Logs, the, I guess, under-researched until now format. So as always, whenever you're doing a Mac exam, open Sarah's website and follow along because there's so much useful information there. And because I kind of rushed through this and had a lot of posts to kind of skim through, it's a lot harder to build the podcast when I haven't been doing the write-ups because I have to kind of remember what happened rather than just read what happened in an article. But I thought I'd just go through the forensic forecast nominations. Basically, I'm sure everyone that's listening knows, but the Forecast Awards has been running for over 10 years, I think. And Lee's done a fantastic job of keeping it going. And throughout the month, the nominations closed, and those that received the most nominations were given an opportunity to vie for your votes. The voting is going to continue until right before the summit. So I think Lee said it was closing the 17th of July. So what I thought was, I'm in a fairly unique position where I've probably looked at or read most of the things on here, and I thought I'd just kind of, I don't know, promote all of them because I can. And I don't know, you chose to listen to this. You could be doing something much more productive with your time. So we'll start with the Digital Forensics Commercial Tool of the Year. So the three up there are Axiom, Cellebrite UFED Ultimate, and the Belksoft Evidence Center. Now, I personally haven't had a lot of experience with Belksoft. I've seen Yuri was recently on the Forensic Lunch and talked about some of the cool things that their company's been doing. But then, you know, the others, Axiom, one of the tools in the toolbox that, I mean, for a lot of different reasons, people have absolutely loved. And obviously the Cellebrite UFED Ultimate, when you do, I mean, between the both of them, you can get a decent amount of stuff done from a computer, mobile, cloud examination between all of these tools, actually, they all cover kind of the wide gamut of things. So that's actually, I think it's going to be a really interesting category because it's really hard to pick a winner between all three of them. Digital Forensics Blog, you've got the Hacking Exposed Computer Forensics Blog by Dave Cohen, who recently he's been busy, but throughout 2019, just constantly put out so much interesting information, as well as keeping up with the Forensic Lunch. Cellbrite Ask the Expert, which is basically, I think it's mainly Heather. I should probably have looked it up. But they walk through a whole bunch of different things to do with forensic artifacts and the how to use the Cellbrite tools to the best advantage. So if I was to Google it quickly, I can go to the page and I can just run through. You can see that, you know, some of the amazing things that you can do with the tool just are very easily explained, and there's a video attached where you can see how they use it and how she would recommend you use it, along with, you know, the screenshots and the write-up, and which just makes it a lot easier so that if you ever get stuck, you know where you can go and look that up. And there's just so much useful information here, which is really, really cool. And then, of course, I've already mentioned Sarah. Actually, I've mentioned all three of them, but Sarah's Mac Forensics Blog got nominated because, you know, again, just useful information and consistently useful information, which is great. So DFIR Non-Commercial Tool of the Year. This one is going to be an interesting category again. We've got CAPE, the Kroll Artifact Parser and Extraction Tool. I think I got the acronym right. Which is basically a product produced by Eric Zimmerman for the company that he works for, Kroll. And for those that haven't used it, it allows you to quickly collect and parse a variety of different things. It really, I mean, to not sell it well, it's a dumb tool that does two things. It collects and it parses. But the way that it does it and the efficiency and the speed that it does it is really, really cool. So it's definitely something that if you haven't used, you should go definitely take a look at. And that came out quite early in the year, so quite a few people have been playing with it for a long time. Autopsy, I think, regularly gets chosen. A lot of people are probably much more familiar with Autopsy now, considering there was the free 8-hour training that I've seen everyone talk about on the internet. I haven't yet had the chance to take it, but I think I used my voucher in time. So I look forward to giving that a go. And then towards the end of the year, we saw the release of iLeap by Alexis Brignoni, which is an amazing tool for parsing iOS. Previously, prior to Alexis's tool releases, iLeap hasn't been mentioned here, and I don't know if it got nominated for anything, but between iLeap and iLeap, you have a fairly comprehensive open source mobile forensic parsing platform, which there were only really individual tools rather than kind of a one-stop shop. I think I'm probably butchering this, but I think Andrilla did some degree of parsing, but I'm not sure. And that is open source now as well, so maybe something to look into. But between the three of these, it could really go either any way because they're all particularly well-liked and useful tools. For the show of the year, I got nominated for This Month in Forensics. I have no idea why, because personally, between the two other nominees, the Forensic Lunch and 13 Cubed, you guys listening to me talk nonsense for 20 minutes a month is it's appreciated. I really appreciate it. But the work produced by Dave Cohen, for example, with the Forensic Lunch, always useful and always interesting guests and conversations that happen. And then Richard Davis's 13 Cubed, I think was the show of the year last year, which I Dave's won a lot, so that's okay. But the amount, the production quality that goes into the 13 Cube videos is really, really good. And it's really cool because you can just, when someone says, I don't know about X, Y, and Z, there's a good chance you can just point them to this YouTube site and say, here you go, you want to learn about prefetch? There's 45 minutes of videos you can go watch about it. I think there's two or three videos on prefetch, and there's a whole bunch of things about the registry and volatile memory, and I think the most recent one is about DS store artifacts, and it's just really, really good, really useful, especially even for experienced people to go back and rewatch. But yeah, really good category there, and be interested to see who takes that one. I don't expect I will. DFIT article of the year, there was the release of iLeap, basically Alexa's inaugural post about that. There was Nicole Odom's research into smartwatch and wearable devices, which is technically behind a paywall, but if you go to the Marshall University website, you can see the presentation that they did at OSDFCon, and I think they released a VM, so there's some interesting things. And if you have access to the journal that it was published in, you may be able to read it. I was not able to read the article, unfortunately. And then there's also Heather's work on iOS 13 backups. So the article was, won't you back that thing up? Really, really cool article where she walked through all the things that stayed the same and all the things that changed between iOS 13 backups and prior. DFIT Social Media Contributor of the Year. I'm glad to call all these people, you know, friends and mentors. Alexis Brignoni, Jessica Hyde, and Heather Mahalik all have just constantly been very positive, uplifting people on the social medias, sharing a lot of useful information, starting a lot of good conversations, contributing where they can, and that's going to be a very hard category to pick as to who deserves that the most. DFIT degree program or training class of the year. I honestly cannot say anything about any of these because I didn't go to Marshall University, I didn't go to Bloomsburg University, and I have not taken the Cellbrite CCO and CCPA classes. That being said, I know some people that have graduated from the programs, and I know some people that have taken the classes, and they only say good things. So may the best program win, I guess. DFIT Resource of the Year. This is always going to be a fun one. We, Ladrina and I were able to take that last year for this week in 4 and 6, which is very, very much appreciated. There's also About DFIR, which originally was started with Devin Ackerman and Mary Ellen Kennell, but has now branched out and includes a number of other people, one of which runs the DFIR Discord server. But the About DFIR page, if you do not know about it, go to it and have a look. It is a repository of a lot of very, very useful information that may be beneficial to your investigations. And then the Digital Forensics Discord server, which is, I think, mainly run by Andrew Rathmud, I'm not sure if others are there as well, is just probably one of the most active communities with regards to asking and answering questions about digital forensics, originally starting only with mobile stuff and then just has expanded to everything. I think that is a really great place where you can get answers quickly from some very interested and intelligent people. So if you haven't signed up and you think maybe that's not the place for you, just go have a look, because you never know when you might read something that might help you in a future investigation, or you might have a random question that you want to ask and some random person is just going to answer it for you without really much thought, which is a really good thing, and it's obviously what we want from the community, which is people helping everyone. Got a few more of these to go through. So DFIT Groundbreaking Research of the Year. We've got the Cellbrite CheckRain extraction method, the full file system method, extraction method, which is based on the CheckMate exploit by AxiomX. The production of, well, so you can't kind of mention CheckRain without mentioning CheckMate and the amount of work that went into one and then both of them. Because of the CheckMate exploit, we now have full file system access in a publicly available commercial tool. there were other ways of getting full file system access, but for the most part, for the most people, having it through the UFED platform makes it quite useful. And it just means that certain questions that previously were out of reach from non-law enforcement, and then also within that, you know, people that couldn't afford the capability or couldn't perform the capabilities, now you can answer certain questions. You have access to data that was not available beforehand. And so that, that was quite groundbreaking when it was released. I think late last year, I can't recall exact dates. Nicole Odoms, which we've mentioned just previously, her research into smartwatch wearable devices, and then Alexis Brignoni's iLeap got nominated as well as a fantastic research project where, I mean, I've already mentioned that combining all the individual parses into one easy to use location that doesn't compile on Windows, but that was my fault. Anyway, DFIN newcomer of the year, I only know Mike. Mike Williamson recently moved to Magnet, has produced some phenomenal research over the last year and maybe beyond, but Mike's got his blog where he publishes some very, very interesting posts about a variety of different topics. I don't know Rohan Patil, and I would like to, I honestly would like to see more, especially for the newcomers and the investigators of the year. I guess I kind of want to see blurbs about why person should vote for, why anyone should vote for that specific person, because I think that would be very useful. And then Nicole Odom, who I think was maybe last year, I can't remember, interviewed on Forensic Focus about some of her work. So if you want to know more information about her, you can probably find it on my site somewhere. DFIN Mentor of the Year. I've already mentioned two of them, but Heather Mihalik, Jessica Hyde, and Eric Zimmerman, all people that I probably annoy more than they would like me to, but all fantastic people and well-deserving of the award. The DFIR Team of the Year, we've got Magnet Forensics, Cellbrite, and KPMG Cyber Response. By all accounts, all fantastic teams. Again, all very deserving of the award. And then lastly, this is going to be very interesting. So Digital Forensics Investigator of the Year. Historically taken by some big names in the industry, and no doubt by big names in the industry for the time in the future. We've got Heather Mihalik nominated again. Between Heather and Cellbrite, I think we're nominated for almost every category, which is a really interesting and really good achievement, I think, between the two. So we've got Heather Mihalik, Alexis Brignoni, and Alejandro Perez. I don't know Alejandro, so I can't really talk about him. Heather has Heather's recently taken over as the digital forensics curriculum lead, co-lead for SANS, and so I've spent quite a bit of time with her as she's been championing our forensics 308 class. So she's been nothing but supportive there, but of course is everywhere with regards to her work with SANS and her work with Cellbrite. I've already mentioned, I think earlier, the Life Has No Control or Delete, and we've talked about the Ask the Expert series, and then there's also the I Beg to Differ, and I don't know how she has time to do anything else. So, you know, she's been nominated before, but, you know, very worthy candidate for the Forensic Investigator of the Year. And then there's Alexis Brignoni, who has really done a phenomenal job with not just iLeap and ALeap, but more recently, even though this is kind of the, you know, the work conducted in 2019, he shared a lot of useful information, and then, you know, more recently has started videos and podcasts to kind of, you know, help people in the industry learn how to do different things with the Python study group, for example. So, you know, the work that all these people do is no doubt phenomenal. And again, it's going to be very interesting to see who ends up taking away the coveted Investigator of the Year awards. And I think that's pretty much it. I've probably talked for who knows how long and taken up too much of your time. So I very, very, very much appreciate anyone that managed to stick around right to the end. That's all for the month. Of course, that isn't everything. And for everything that I can find, you can head over to thisweekinforensics.com. For those that have donated via Patreon, it's very, very much appreciated. For those that don't know anything about the Patreon, if you get a bit of value out of my work and you want to give a little bit of value back, then you can go over to patreon.com/thisweekinforensics. I think it is. I should probably have checked that. The links are in the blog post, so easy to find. I can't thank those enough. This does take up quite a lot of time. Time I'm happy to spend, but it's nice to, you know, it's nice to be appreciated, I guess, a bit monetarily. So for those that do are Patreon supporters, you do get a little bit more out of this. You get the links that I've mentioned, as well as the time codes that make it a bit easier to look up. And you can check that out on the Patreon website. If you've got any suggestions or recommendations, you can let me know on Twitter. I am at Phil Moore. And a special thanks to my friend Jeff, who is Animatic on SoundCloud, for the tracks in the opening and closing. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next month.